Well, hello, and welcome to Tom Rhodes Radio Smart Camp. Greetings from another beautiful day in captivity. Are you a little nervous? Are you worried? Are you frightened? Well, considering the possible threat to our human extinction that we're all currently living through, I think that's only natural. So don't feel bad about feeling bad. Just remember that there is bright, big balls of sunshine in the world, and a lot of beautiful things are happening now. Are you getting fatter? I know I'm getting fatter. And just remember, it's better than being deader. So I want to start out this episode. I haven't put out a podcast in a month. I'll explain, you know, that in a minute. I mean, it's partially the virus, and then it's partially something else delayed a couple of weeks that I'll get into. But first of all, most importantly, let me thank the people, the beautiful human beings who have shot some love in my direction monetarily, knowing that all of my work is canceled for the unforeseen future. Number one, Mark in San Francisco sent me a $50 Amazon card. Benny in Copenhagen, Denmark sent me $50 on PayPal. And Michael in London, my God, he edited the $20 a month he gives as a Golden Buddha, and he made it $5 extra. And Michael, you did that a few weeks ago, and I'm telling you, you know, my listeners, you guys are so beautiful. You know, I went a few weeks without putting a thing up, and I thought, God, you know, people might get pissed off at me for the delay in episodes. And then the virus hit, and then right when I had thoughts like that, all these people kind of come to my rescue. And I just, you know, Michael in London upping his money $5, you know, was a huge, beautiful gesture that filled my heart with light and love. And gives me, just knowing that people care about me is really a beautiful thing. And then my friend Kevin in St. Petersburg, Florida, also sent me money on PayPal. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much for doing that. I know everybody's struggling right now. Everybody's out of work, and people don't have money coming in. So the gesture is even more beautiful and felt in my heart than it would have been. I mean, I always am grateful, but it's just really, really beautiful the way you guys have reached out to me. So, God, where should we start? I can't wait to run through the disinfectant mist back into my lover's arms again. Things have, you know, I want to thank Ashna Rojan, my ex-wife, before I start pounding out jokes and stuff. Ashna, you know, we've remained good friends, and why not? She improved my life every way as a human being. And when I was, I think it was in February, I was in Las Vegas for a week, and Ashna stayed here. And she told me, you're running low on everything, cleaning products, detergent, and, you know, I'm a bachelor now. And she said, you know, you really should you know, buy all this stuff. And then she suggested, you should get these Clorox wipes, which is funny because now that's what everybody is dying for, these Clorox wipes things. So in February, you know, I'm a bachelor. I don't like to run out of things. And number one, I don't like to run out of toilet paper, and I don't like to run out of coffee. So Target is like a 1 mile from my apartment. And I, you know, partly for exercise of walking there, I've got this granny shopping cart grocery trolley that I bought at IKEA, which is like the best thing in the world. I love this thing. And I don't care if I look like an old man, but I made a trip to Target and I stocked up on cleaning products and detergent and, you know, 409 cleaner, these Clorox wipes, everything you could imagine. And then also, I thought the Target toilet paper was kind of expensive. So I went to CVS and I got like three massive 24 roll packs of Quilted Northern. So I actually, in spite of, everybody's making toilet paper jokes now. Here's a couple of mine. It is a small world and we are all connected. Think about it. Some guy in China eats a bat and now I'm wiping my ass with coffee filters. I'm doing okay on toilet paper now, but in a month, I think I'll be wiping my ass on old concert t-shirts. I'll probably start off with Richard Ashcroft solo and then work my way up. And if I start wiping my ass with Rolling Stones t-shirts, you know that we've really, really got a big problem. So, thanks to Ashton Rogin. Sorry for my coughs. I've been smoking some tobacco. And Ashton told me to replenish everything, which I did. It's remarkable how stocked up I was for everything. And then my mom was visiting me. When she was going to fly back, it was when all the shit was hitting the fan. My mom was going to fly back on March 16th, and she had to go back because the Homeowners Association where she lived was going to double her Homeowners Association thing. And for the last month, my mom actually turned into like a community organizer, and she rallied all of her neighbors, and every time she'd see somebody, are you a renter? Are you an owner? If you're a renter, you got to talk to your owner, get these people to vote. So she rallied everybody, and they were just about to have this big vote back where my mom lives, and that was why she wanted to go back on the vote was like the 17th. So Ashna was telling me on the night of the 15th that, why don't you just have your mom stay with you? And I started thinking about it, and then the more I was reading stories I read online that night about being exposed and thinking of her getting on a plane, we both decided that it would be best for my mom, who I love dearly, to stay with me here and ride this out together. And, I'm forever grateful to Ashna for suggesting that and then also telling me to buy toilet paper and cleaning products and stuff. Because otherwise my mom would have been alone in Florida and I would have been alone here. And I know, even very well-adjusted people are having a hard time right now. All this time at home, people are by themselves. Thinking about my friend Jasper in Holland, who I've communicated with a few times. Just friends of mine that I know are spending most of this time by themselves. This is a very difficult time mentally for even well-adjusted people. One thing I read, they were saying that this might be a time for a big baby boom because everybody's staying at home, but it might be a divorce boom. Where's that thing? Let me read that. We'll get to the readings in a minute. This thing, and also with my mom being here, I feel like I've spent my whole life building up to this moment because I've got thousands of books in my living room. My mom has already crushed 4 books in the last however many weeks since she's been here. And I've got hundreds of movies. So we've been watching documentaries. We've been watching movies. We've been playing Scrabble. I'm cooking all of our meals, which is really funny. I told Ashna, because she used to cook all the time, I said, I've turned into a little Ashna Rogin because I'm in the kitchen cooking all the time. And she said, that's funny. I've turned into a little Tom Rhodes. I'm reading the news too much and stressing out about it. Anyway, Ashna's safe with her boyfriend, and we'll get in my situation. I'll tell you about more in a minute. I didn't want to lose the thought, but there's no reason not to emerge from this a better version of yourself. With educating yourself, watching movies, reading books, whatever hobbies, whatever projects you have. I've been editing my next album, which I'm going to call The Honky Motherland, which I recorded last year on that UK tour. And March 13th was the day in California where Governor Gavin Newsom put the stay at home order, and then, you know, all the comedy clubs shut. That was kind of the day that all the shit hit the fan. But I've been editing, I've been listening to all my shows from England and doing the notes for my editor. And it's so nice. I mean, I'm not on stage now, and I miss being on stage and telling jokes. I miss just being in a crowd of people. Don't you? I miss dressing up. I mean, what are we all going to look like in 2 months after none of us have had haircuts or anything? You know, it's really great for me to hear the roar of laughter from these shows in England, and I'm glad to have this project. And then once I finish editing this album, I'm going to get to work on finishing my book about my best stories traveling the world and everything. So I wanted to tell you a couple of, let's see. right before all this shit happened, okay, let me apologize for not putting out a podcast for a month. And this is what happened. So January and February, I was rocking on the recordings. I had a lot of good episodes. I felt like people I really enjoyed talking with. And on Super Bowl Sunday, I was in Las Vegas, and I went and I did an interview with Carl LeBeau. And Carl's got stage 4 colon cancer, and it doesn't look good for him. And, you know, he couldn't have other comedians near him for fear of germs then. And that's the thing you got to worry about now, is vulnerable people that you know or in your life that could be affected, you know, that you might bring them, whatever, the virus. So Carl LeBeau and I did this brilliant conversation. I think it was one of the greatest conversations I've ever recorded. And he was talking about, you know, finding forgiveness and peace in his life, and how you should be grateful for the little moments in your life, and friendships are the greatest treasures, and everything I believe in about the goodness of the world. I had this beautiful conversation with him. So I went, after I had posted all the recordings that I had already done, I went to listen to that episode because I was going to post it for the next week, and it died after 3 minutes. My memory card had gone out. So I lost that interview, and I don't know how much longer Carl's going to live. So I kind of felt really shitty about that. And then all this virus thing happened. It was kind of funny after when September 11th happened. I'm sure I've told this story, but I was living in Walter Graafsmeer neighborhood in Amsterdam with the Dutch girlfriend at the time. This was before the television show, the late night talk show that I had there. And I had done mushrooms. I was hanging out with friends, and I was walking home on September 10th, 2001, and I felt so happy to be alive. And there was this cheese shop in our neighborhood, and I absolutely loved this cheese shop. So I wrote with a Sharpie marker on like a lamppost in front of the place, "I love everything about life on this earth, especially this cheese shop." And I drew an arrow pointing at the cheese shop. And then like the next morning, I woke up and I felt like such an asshole, because it's like one of the most charming neighborhoods in Amsterdam, and there's no graffiti. And I felt bad that I had put graffiti in this neighborhood. So it's kind of funny, like right before this virus shit hits, I felt like a total jackass for losing the Carl LeBeau interview. But I guess there's worse things. Hey, we're all alive, right? My friend Vic Henley died in New York this past week. Vic Henley was from Oxford, Alabama. He was a really good friend of mine years ago. I haven't been that good of friends with him in the last 10 years. I saw him like 5 years ago was the last time. But at one time in my life, he was one of my best friends. And he lived in New York City, and he just had the most southern accent. And he had a pulmonary embolism, which I think a vein or an artery explodes in your heart. Jesus. Everything was fun and games until people you knew started dropping dead. Oh, hey, look who forgot to turn off the sound on his phone. So it was actually a stroke of luck that my mom stayed with me. Like I said, we'd have been alone otherwise, but also because it made me more cautious. My mom is going to be 81 years old tomorrow, April 15th. Well, I'm going to post this podcast on the 14th. It's actually the 13th right now. But she's going to be 81, and it's my main concern to get her through this alive, both of us. So when I've gone out, even before Gavin Newsom made that announcement to stay in California, we were already staying in because that was the advice. And I ordered some masks on Amazon that still haven't come. I ordered some black gloves. And I found, it's funny, this virus and everybody staying home has really made everybody like look deep into their closets, see what's in all the cabinets in the back. Everybody's just got so much time on their hands. Underneath my bathroom sink, under the cabinet, I found this chemical mask that Ashna used to wear when she would clean the bathtub with Clorox. So thank God I had a mask. Now I got these gloves. And when I go out, you know, when I go to the grocery store, I tell my mom after like a half hour when I'm gone, go into the next room and close the door. So what happens when I come back with the groceries, I put everything in, put everything away, and then I take off the gloves I'm wearing and I put them in a Ziploc bag, and then I throw them in the trash, and then I throw all of my clothes into the washing machine and wash everything on hot. And then I jump into the shower immediately and wash myself on hot water head to toe. So we've just been like completely cautious. It's been interesting going out at the grocery store. You know, now they've got the 6-foot spacing when you're waiting in line before you go into the store. And it's like people don't know how to move. The people are learning how to move now. Like, it's funny. When I find it very pleasant, actually. You know, they're limiting the number of people that go into the supermarket. I find it pleasant in the grocery store where there's not so many people. But like when somebody steps into your 6-foot radius, like I've had a few people lean in to like grab a can or something on a shelf in a grocery store. And my first thought is like, hey, motherfucker, are you trying to kill me? Are you trying to kill my mom, my family, everybody I love? So I think somebody should develop protective clothing like hula hoop belts. Like belts and hula hoops that go out like 6 feet so you can protect your radius at all times. That's just a thought. What was it? Ah, geez. You know, the building I live in is above a grocery store. And I live one block away from two other grocery stores. So I feel like I couldn't be in a more blessed situation. I hope you are too. I hope you're not having, I hope you're not feeling lonely and all the mental anxiety that's only natural for what we're going through. Let me see. Oh, on March 11th, I had to have a follow-up colonoscopy because the one I had 2 years ago, I wasn't completely cleaned out. So they wanted me to come back a year or 2 years later. And of course I waited the maximum because who wants to go through that shit again? And then so March 9 and 10, I wasn't eating anything and I'm doing these laxatives and you got to take these pills and drink shit mixed with green Gatorade. It's not pleasant. And you poop your brains out to get ready for the thing. So like the whole world, this everything's going to shit and the virus is fucking gripping the world. And I know mine was one of the last colonoscopies probably done. They probably shut them all down the next day or two. And then fortunately, I got a great result back that everything's fine. So I don't have to worry about any butthole cancers. But when I left, the hospital, the medical center, we took a lift, and you have to have someone drive you or a family member, somebody, you know, take you home. They don't let you leave by yourself. So my mom was with me, and sorry, I'm about to sneeze. Anytime you sneeze now, you go, oh my God, do I have it? So we left the medical center, and there, I must have gotten like some bacteria from the procedure or something. And that I wrote the doctor the next day, and that was her opinion. But I started to get really freezing when we left. We were standing in the shadows of the building, and the car picked us up, and it was this like well-dressed older man, probably I'd say 60, and he had the air conditioning on. I asked him to turn off the air conditioning, and I'm just like shaking, and I'm freezing, and I looked like I was really sick. And all the news of the coronavirus, the COVID-19, I could see that guy looking at me in the rearview mirror, and I'll bet you I was probably his last ride. He probably thought it's not worth risking my life to make $10-$20. But anyway, I mean, I who knows what I was going through. If I'd have been the driver, I'd have been shitting in my pants. So a lot of good news is happening. It seems like the earth is replenishing itself. The birds are having a big party. Are the birds having a party where you live? I'm on the top floor of my building, and I have these eucalyptus trees right outside my balcony, and I get hummingbirds that buzz around. You know, I've told the story how I created the hummingbird garden out there. Oh, I bought 2 hummingbird feeders on Amazon, and neither one of them worked. Like, they leaked. Anyway, what was the point? Yeah, the birds are having a party. I've been seeing so much bird activity outside of my window, and the hummingbirds are coming around to the bushes that I planted. My mom was reading this. The Week magazine. Let me just, you know, one of my golden Buddhas in Rochester, New York. Let me give a shout out to Carla. Carla, when did I play in Rochester? 15 years ago, maybe longer. And she had gotten to the club earlier, or like an hour early before the show. And she was sitting there reading this magazine when we met. And she said, oh, here, you never heard of The Week? And she gave it to me. I love The Week magazine. So my mom was reading in The Week magazine. She goes, this was yesterday or the day before. She goes, I'm reading about this guy, and he reminds me of you, honey, because he's always working on projects, and you're always working on projects. And I was like, oh, really, Mom? Who is that? And I look at the picture on the article, and it was Kanye West. My mom thinks I'm Kanye. So I told my mom the whole story with Kanye, how I didn't like him because he got up and he took that award. Was it the Grammys or MTV? I can't remember. He took that award away from Taylor Swift and said she didn't deserve it and Beyonce should have won the thing. I just thought that was like really not classy. And then the fact that he's a huge Trump supporter, I didn't like him. But I told him my girlfriend likes early Kanye, and that I've been listening to early Kanye, and I have to say the guy's a genius. And I told my mom he put out a religious album last year, and then on the concert shirt on the front it doesn't say his name; it says Jesus is King. So like my mom's like, wow, cool. And I said, yeah, you didn't see that that crazy ramble he did at the White House in front of Trump? And she goes, no. So I pulled it up on YouTube. I go, yeah, this is like he really looked like an asshole. He was just rambling crazy shit. Excuse me. And then as we watch it, from my mom's perspective, it wasn't crazy shit at all. He was saying, my Make America Great Again hat, people criticize me, but it's like my cape. I feel like Superman when I wear this hat. It gives me superpowers. And what liberals don't understand is when you talk bad about our president, you make our country look bad. You hurt our brand when you criticize Trump. And I'm like, oh shit, okay, wow. So I think my mom is a huge Kanye fan now, everybody. And I remind my mom of Kanye. So yesterday was Easter. Whether or not you're a Christian, however you feel, I think that for me, the meaning of Easter and the metaphor that you should appreciate from Easter is the fact that Jesus overcame death, and that's, he came back from the dead. And I think that's a great metaphor in life where, think about times in your life that you've been crushed by a relationship or a job or addiction or whatever shit you're going through. I think that when we overcome things in our life, I think it's like we're coming back from the dead in a way. And that's the way I've always looked at Easter, is happy coming back from the dead day. That it's possible to overcome things. It's possible to come back from the dead. And God, my mom's laugh is the sweetest sound on this earth. We've been watching so many documentaries and movies, and then I bought a few years ago, I was in New York in a bookstore, and they had the first five seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm for $20, and I have not gotten to see them all. So I sat down with my mom. We started watching the first season. We're like, I think we're almost done with the second season now. We'll throw on one every once in a while. But, you know, it's amazing how many things have sex in it or violence in all these movies. And when you're watching it with your 80-year-old mother, you realize, like, there was one episode where, in the first season, where Larry David makes a bet with his wife about a blowjob, that she has to give him a blowjob in the car. And then the episode ends, he goes, well, too bad somebody lost a bet. And then she unhooks the belt buckle and she smiles and she scoots over, and that's the end of the episode. I'm like, oh, brother. So, but one of the best laughs my mom and I had together, my mom laughed so hard. So in one of the episodes on the first season, Larry David, he touches the breast of his manager, Jeff's mom. So she thinks he's a pervert. And it was, I think the second season, the episode is Thor. And Jeff, his manager, had left his wife, and Larry David is going to give Jeff's wife, Jeff's mom, a ride to the hotel where he's at, and she drops something in the back seat, so she turns around. Oh, when he was telling his wife earlier that episode about how he likes a big ass, women with big asses or something, and then the episode ends where he's looking at Jeff's mom's ass as she's trying to get this thing off the floor in the back seat. Her ass is sticking up in the air. And then the episode ends where he got one of those violation tickets from the state of California, and they show a picture, like when you run a red light. And the picture showed him. And then the picture, he's looking at Jeff's mom's ass. And my mom and I howled. Leslie Jordan has become a big Instagram star. Leslie Jordan is this very small, older, gay, southern man. He's very southern and he's very gay. And he's been posting all these funny videos on Instagram. Well, he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he has a home in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But Leslie Jordan also lives in my building. And I saw him as recently as January when my girlfriend was visiting me for my birthday. We were on the elevator with him, and I had told her about him. He is such a cute, funny guy. I don't know if I ever told this story, but I didn't know who he was at the time. This is like, God, I haven't worked out in a long time. This is like 2 or 3 years ago when I was working out. I ran next to him on the treadmill here in my building, and he had headphones on, and he was singing show tunes while he was running on the treadmill. And he's clapping and he's running, and he started to skip. How many people run and skip and clap when they're on a treadmill? And it was so adorable. He was like so gay and happy and silly. I mean, and that's why his Instagrams have done so well. But he actually, at one point, he ran and jumped, and he did a clap between his legs. Who does a running clap between their legs on a treadmill? Well, Leslie Jordan, ladies and gentlemen, that's who. So speaking of Instagram, last year, you know, I've collected all these, I love postcards, and once a month I send postcards to my golden Buddhas, as you know, and I wanted to show my stairway, where I've took all these postcards that I had that were in boxes, and I taped them up all over this wall, and I really love it. And so I made this Instagram video because, you know, I thought, oh, it'd be cool. I could show people things in my apartment, in the Rhodes Library. And I got a few messages from people saying, hey, please send me a postcard. And then so I made the next day, I made a little video and I said, hey, to the handful of people who asked me if I could mail them a postcard, I just want to say once a month, I do send out a batch of handwritten postcards to my golden Buddhas. And those are the people that give $20 a month. And then, what was that, yesterday? Since then, I lost 10 followers, which is, you know, I mean, who cares? But it's just funny. I haven't lost that many followers since I was in Jerusalem and I put on the Orthodox Jewish round fur fuzzy hat that my friend Yisrael Campbell had. I remember when I posted that, I lost like 20 people instantly. I mean, you know, it's good to lose the non-essentials and that the core people who love you stick with you. So I wanted to talk with my mom about movies and stuff. Let me see. Is that everything I wanted to tell you? I'm so happy to be alive. I hope you are too. This is a very special time if you're with the right person. You know, I couldn't be more happy to be with my mom. She's praying a lot, watching the religious television. Oh, for Easter, we woke up at 10 a.m. Andrea Bocelli sang from Milan Cathedral. And I went to Milan Cathedral, what, like 5 years ago when I went to interview Sananda Maitreya. And then we watched the Pope. And then we watched the Pope's Mass from Rome. That was interesting. I took my mom to the Vatican years ago. And it was interesting just to see it completely empty because that place is always full of people. And then my mom wanted to see Joel Osteen's Easter because Mariah Carey and Kanye West were going to be singing. So we watched something on YouTube of what we thought was the Joel Osteen. But then there was no Kanye. But it's just funny that now my mom loves Kanye, especially after what he said in the White House. And then we watched my mom's dude, Joseph Prince. And my mom loves Joseph Prince. I flew her to Los Angeles in October so we could see Joseph Prince live. Okay, so here's some... Normally, and I just started a brand new notebook as March 20th. We're all getting to live those moments in history when people had to stay inside and hide, like the Black Plague of Europe, Jews hiding during World War II, and the London Blitz. Now is the perfect time to experiment with a strange haircut or silly facial hair that you've always wanted. Social distancing will be tough on me because I'm a hugger. And also, I totally believe in the firmness of a person's handshake. How are we going to be able to judge the strength of someone's character if we're not shaking their hands anymore? You know, like, I think if things change, like if people don't want to be hugged anymore, they don't want to shake hands anymore. Yeah. Are we going to start bowing like in Japan? The entire world is on lockdown. It's amazing. Like, I was living in Amsterdam when September 11th happened. And, you know, I kind of missed out on that experience. And I don't feel like I missed anything. But, I mean, people in America had that collective experience. Now everyone in the world is experiencing the exact same thing. We're all experiencing this one collective experience. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. One of the things I think a lot of things are going to change from this. I think hopefully one of the first things is that people will start taking care of homeless people, especially in California. And hopefully, like, you know, basic health care will be provided for people. And that people will finally realize that it's not a good idea to leave ruined lives on the street to act as human incubators for disease. Hey, that reminds me. I got a nice Instagram message from Nick in Mallorca, Spain. And he told me he's been passing this virus, the pandemic lockdown, listening to episodes of my podcast. And he said it's been quite a time travel thing to listen to people I'm interviewing, how the world went from Bush to Obama and then to Trump. And the guy sent me this message how it was really interesting to hear that perspective over all this time from all these different people and their opinions. And it made me think the world did not go the way I thought it was hoping to go, like a more kind and generous, loving thing. Oh, fuck, I gotta read you this. Did you see this thing that Bill Gates said? This is really beautiful. I saw this post. So Bill Gates said this. This virus is reminding us that we are all equal, regardless of our culture, religion, occupation, financial situation, or how famous we are. This disease treats us all equally, so perhaps we should too. It is reminding us that we are all connected, and something that affects one person has an effect on another. It is reminding us that the false borders that we have put up have little value, as the virus does not need a passport. It is reminding us, by oppressing us for a short time, of those in this world whose whole life is spent in oppression. Wow. One of the ways that my life has changed directly from COVID-19, I love navel oranges, and I am an orange-eating motherfucker. I've always done this Florida hillbilly thing. When I open a navel orange, I always dig my teeth into the navel or right around the navel just to make that opening where you can peel it. So the thought of all the hands that had touched that orange before, I stopped doing that, but I'm still eating lots of navel oranges. Oh my God. I've perfected oven roasted potatoes with rosemary and garlic. And then another thing I've been working on is oven fried chicken. The Jamie Oliver recipe for the roasted potatoes is what I do, but I don't use duck fat. I just use butter and oil. And if you Google oven roasted chicken, you will see it. Okay. Let me find, oh my God, watching movies with my mom. You know, it's funny. I remember when Bill Hicks was dying, I had heard about that his mom would sit with him and he played her music that he liked. And I always thought, oh, that's interesting that at the end of his life, he got to share with his mom things that meant a lot to him. My experience where I'm watching all these art documentaries. My mom and I watched the BBC 1969 docuseries called Civilization. So it's kind of nice to like look at the highlights of human civilization to see the good things we've done throughout human history to be reminded of during all this shit. But my two favorite movies of all time, I got to show my mom, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which of course she had seen, but I hadn't seen the movie in 10 years. Every frame is still complete genius. God, that movie is so good. And then True Romance. And then True Romance was a little violent for my mom. And then another film that I love we watched. That's what I wanted to say. My mom, and I used to be like this too. My mom doesn't like a movie if it doesn't have a happy ending. And I used to always be that way. And then when I lived with Natalie, the French woman in San Francisco, she always teased me about that because every French movie ends with everybody dying. It could be a comedy and then everybody die at the end. But like Americans, we're conditioned, we like happy endings. So we watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and then we watched True Romance, and my mom thought it was a little violent, but I said, but hey, Mom, it had a happy ending, which those both of those movies have happy endings. But we watched this movie, The Mission, with Robert De Niro, and it takes place in Brazil, the Spanish and the Portuguese, and there's like slave trappers, and there's missionary priests, and I hadn't seen that movie in years, and I loved it. I thought my mom would enjoy it, but I forgot that all of the natives who converted to Christianity got slaughtered by the Portuguese at the end of the film, and it was the wrong film to watch right before bedtime. Joey Diaz called me, told me he thought that a lot of clubs were going to maybe not even reopen after this. That kind of stressed me out. But then Jimmy Schubert told me that he thought that this would be a bigger time for comedy more than ever, that people were so sick of being stuck in their homes that they'd really want to go out after this. So I'm going to stick with the positive. Okay, is that everything? I've been watching the sunset every night. My apartment faces west. And every day, watch the sunset with my mom. It's nice just to pause in life and appreciate nature. Every day, we'll go out and I'll applaud the sunset and go, hey, you did a great job today, son. You enjoy that trip around the world. And we'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Today is April 13th, and today is 1 year, the 1 year anniversary of the first date I had with my girlfriend. We met for coffee in Portland, and then we've been doing great ever since then. We FaceTime every day. She's with her family back in Canada, and right before I got so lucky, you know, like I was saying, like, how I was totally prepared with all these supplies and toilet paper. And I've really just, me and my mom have just been hunkered down. You know, her birthday is the 15th tomorrow. And we're going to have a bunker birthday party. I've already, you know, already got some nice little cute presents for her, hiding and waiting to give to her. I mean, this is a really special time if you're with someone you love. And, God, what was the point that I was going to make? My girlfriend. I've been FaceTiming with her every day. Thank God for FaceTime and Skype, and been talking to, you know, certain friends and FaceTiming. I got back in touch with Faye Woodruff. She's got problems with her heart, but I've been talking to her back in Nashville. She's so funny. And, God, I know there was a little more to this. So, fuck me. Boop-boop-a-doop-boop. Yeah, 1 year. Oh, yeah, that was it. So, the weekend before my mom came, I was in Portland. And then the weekend before that, I had a gig in Arcata, California, at the Minor Theater, this little theater built in 1914 that I love, and I love Arcata. It's this little hippie town in Humboldt County. It's where Humboldt State is. And I flew into Portland, where my girlfriend lives, and we rented a car, and we took this wonderful trip, stopped in Grants Pass, Oregon, and the great antique stores there. I found some more vinyl records. I found a couple of cool books and things. And then we did the gig in Arcata. And then we drove down, the next day we drove down the Avenue of Giants, which is If you've never been there, that little piece in Northern California is so magnificent. And the redwood trees, it's called the Avenue of Giants. You got to drive it once. So magnificent. And then these trees are breathtaking. And then to stop and get out and walk among them, and it's so quiet and still. It's amazing to think, like right now, those redwoods are, it's still beautiful, it's still silent. There's probably been many viruses that those redwood trees have outlasted. And then we went to Fern Canyon, which is like an hour north of Arcata. And that is just, it's such beautiful nature. I'm so glad I did all that. And then I had this wonderful weekend at Harvey's Comedy Club in Portland, which is where I met my girlfriend that weekend when we made the coffee date for 1 year ago today. And I love Portland. I had a great time with her, the people at the club, and wonderful audiences. I love the Portland audience. And I had all this nature and I had great shows right before sliding into all this shit. So who knows how long it's going to last. I'm not going to wait so long. I'm going to put out more regular podcasts. I was going to have my mom on this episode, but I'll wait for her to do the next episode. I'm pretty happy with the length that I've been able to talk to you today. But yeah, sorry it took a month to put out an episode. First of all, I was pissed off at myself for 2 weeks over losing the Karl LeBow episode, and then the virus hit, and I was just concerned with keeping my mom safe. And it's just funny how you plan things when you go out now, like everything. You know, when I leave, I don't take the elevator. I take the steps in the building. I go out the side door. I slip over. I'm patient. Wait in line. I got my mask on. I got my gloves. Fortunately, I live by the farmers market in Los Angeles, and that's still open, so I can still get there's produce there. Been eating just get tons of oranges and watermelon and all the fruits that I love. And then in my neighborhood is the greatest. Good thing about living in a Jewish neighborhood is bagels. The bagel broker on Beverly Boulevard. Oh my God, corn rye bagels. I can't speak highly enough. So, I think I've mentioned before that my apartment is, they raised the rent. There's no rent control. And I'm definitely gonna probably have to move out next year, but I'm always gonna have a great memory of this apartment. And it was worth the extra money to live here just to, for this place, for this to be where I was and ride this out. For the COVID-19 virus with my mom and keep her safe because I got all these grocery stores within a short walk, the farmers market, and then my crazy habit of buying books and CDs and movies. It's just unbelievable. I feel like I could not be in a better place. And I'm almost done with my Napoleon book. I'll be doing that, talking about that in future episodes. But I really wanted to, I've been really looking forward to putting out this episode and talking to you guys and just letting you know that I'm profoundly grateful for the love that people have sprinkled on me. And I'm safe. I hope you're safe. I've communicated with at least half of my Golden Buddhas and people that support the podcast. Oh yeah, there was another guy that who became a new $5 or $10 a month person. Shit, I forgot his name. But hey, if you're listening, thank you so much. And it was in the lull of episodes. So my mom and I found we've been watching all these documentaries. I'll tell you. Well, we'll talk about that more in on a future episode. But today, we're going to watch a PBS Frida Kahlo documentary. And then tonight, we're going to watch the Selma Hayek Frida movie. So today's going to be the Frida movie. We got a nice routine. So I saw one thing on, they were talking about the mental stress that people are under on NPR last week or something, and they were saying that you should structure your day. And my mom and I have, before I ever heard this, we've got a nice structure to our day. So in the morning, I wake up, and I'm a slow starter in the morning. I like to have coffee, and I like to wake up. So in the morning, we read. My mom has knocked out 4 books since she's been here, and she's on a Picasso book right now. And I'm on the last 100 pages of this 800-page Napoleon book. So we read in the morning for an hour, and then I've been working on my editing my next album for like 2 hours, and then we'll have lunch, and then we play Scrabble. And then after the lunch, Scrabble, then we'll watch an art documentary, and then we have dinner, and then we'll watch a movie. That's usually been like our schedule every day. So I've learned, you know, as a son, I have many duties to my mother, but letting her win at Scrabble is not one of them. Oh my God, I have been crushing this woman at Scrabble. We've played 11 games and she's won 2 out of 11 so far. Or maybe, yeah, no, I think, no, we've done 12 and she's won 2. And here's a little tip from your boy Tom Rhodes. QI. And I learned that because my girlfriend in Portland, we played Scrabble and she crushed me, and she had played QI and I challenged her on it. And QI is a word, and whenever you get that Q, man, look for an I. It's definitely a winner, especially if you can put it on a double letter, triple word, something like that. It's a big tip. Anyway, I love Scrabble. I love my mom. I love breathing with full lung capacity. How about you? I think that's about it for today, everybody. I hope you're doing good. I hope you're staying strong. And I am going to be rocking, hopefully, an episode every week from now on and let you guys know what's going on with me. So please forgive me for the coughs. I have been doing hand-rolled tobacco because I'm, well, a little nervous. I'm enjoying myself, but I think it's natural to be a little worried and a little nervous. And, you know, if you can eat chocolate, whatever the fuck it is, sneak a little puff of tobacco, whatever calms your ass down is not a bad thing right now, because I think staying mentally strong is as important as it is keeping your immune system strong. So you got to be eating vegetables, eating fruit. I mean, I'm not exercising, so I won't tell you to exercise, but I think keeping a lot of vitamins coming in your body and then with a guilty indulgence like chocolate or whatever it is for you, tobacco, sex, whatever it is, go for it. So that's it. I'll keep you updated on my hummingbird progress. And I've never had this much time at home before. I've always wanted to spend more time at home, and I finally got it. It's such a relief not to have to go to the airport every week, every other week, and to be flying off to do gigs and stuff. And I'm about halfway through editing the new album, which I recorded it in Ireland, England, and Scotland, and I'm going to call the album The Honky Motherland. And then my book of world travel stories, I've finished 8 stories, and I have 3 stories that are half completed, so I'm going to complete those. And then there's one more story I want to write about when I went to Malaysia for the first time, and my friend Sam Coleman invited me on this yacht regatta with these rich guys, and then the sails blew out, and there was no food on it, and it was a really miserable experience. I'm looking forward to being able to finally finish this book and have this time on it. And then I'm going to work after that. I'm going to go through all of my photographs, because I want to work on a one-man show where I tell stories with my best photos. It's kind of a show that I was trying to do like 15, 20 years ago that I want to revisit and do now as the older, more wise Tom Rhodes. And I hope my podcast today has enriched you with some wisdom and laughter. And long may you run, my friends. And thank you for supporting me. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Shalom, amigos y amigas. God bless you all.
Tom Rhodes, you're a funny man. Tom Rhodes, you're an international comedian. Tom Rhodes, karate kick, baby, oh yeah. Tom Rhodes, you're a groovy dude. You go all around the world telling jokes to all of the people. You are an international comedian. You're funny to everybody in every single country in the world. Tom Rhodes, I like you very much. I think you're talented and very wonderful. Tom Rhodes, you're the best guy in the world. I wanna be your friend. You should call me sometime. Here is my phone number, 603-644-0048. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tom Rhodes, you're an international comedic sensation. Tom Rhodes, I like to listen to your podcast. Tom Rhodes, you're the best man to ever walk on the earth.